Hey everybody, and it's Jovan Alford here for another episode of the Total Sports Live Podcast. It's actually been a minute since I've done a podcast. I'm trying to think, the last time I did a podcast was with Chris Shanafelt. We were talking NFL. I think it was before the Justin Fields trade, so it's been a minute, but it's even been a longer minute since I had my guy Nick Earnshaw along here. I think the last time we talked about the Phillies was the postseason. I believe.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was the postseason. It was the last time we jumped on to talk to Phils. Chris is the man, by the way. So that, that was a great pod.
Oh, yeah. That pod went, we were supposed to do the pod for about like 40 minutes and it like dragged for an hour. And he was like, he's like, he apologized. He's like, I'm so sorry that, you know, I went for like X amount of time. It's like, no, like, you good. Like, you're fine. It's okay. Like, we'll figure it out. I'd rather have more conversation than not. So, we got Nick back on the pod. It's like I said, it's been a minute since we heard both of us on the pod, but hey, we're back here talking baseball here on the Total Sports Live podcast. Like I said, Nick Earnshaw here. And if you haven't heard, Nick has a great podcast himself called The Shift. And Nick, if people don't know about The Shift, please tell them what The Shift is all about, because you and Francisco, y'all get deep into the weeds, but not too deep in the weeds that the casual baseball fan can understand and get involved in the conversation.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. No, so we, I joined Francisco's pod. He started it, The Shift. So I'm co-hosting with him on there. We go live probably about once a week. We record an episode about once a week. We try and do it. We have crazy schedules, so we make it work as best as possible. But yeah, on that show, we don't just do Phillies talk. We do all Major League Baseball talk. So we cover the headlines. We get into like the nitty gritty of what's going on around the league. We'll do like lists. We'll do top fives, top three, stuff like that, going around all around the entire league. And it's been a fun show. We've recorded 50 episodes now together, so it's been pretty fun. We did our 50th the other night. That was great. But yeah, we talk everything baseball. We'll be having some remote shows coming up again like we did last year, so that'll be pretty fun. We'll get some guests on too, so it's just a fun baseball pod. We love when people kind of reach out about it, jump into the conversation. Jovan, you're always jumping in the conversation, so that's always a great time. We love when you're commenting. But yeah, Francisco and I love doing the show, just all about baseball. It's literally, we just have fun, talk about what's going on like at that moment, that week, and we kind of sum everything up and you know, give our takes, give our opinions as well. So it's a fun show and we really enjoy it.
Yeah, no, if y'all haven't checked out The Shift, is really good. Like, and this comes from somebody that follows baseball consistently and looking for a podcast that just talks about the game but is not like getting into the nuances and things of that nature. Like, if you want fun baseball talk, like, The Shift is where to go, obviously. Because like I said last episode, there was a raging debate on who was better, the Norfolk Tides, which is the Orioles system, or the Oakland A's, which was a very heated debate. It was a fun debate.
Yeah. It was a good one. I got to give credit. Francisco came up with that idea, so I got to give credit to him there. We did put out a poll about that. It was crazy, and it tied 50-50. So some people thought it was the Norfolk Tide. AAA team for the Orioles are better than the A's. I'm on that side of the wagon there. So, I think they are better than the Oakland A's. I don't know about now since Jackson Holliday got called up, but yeah, that was a pretty fun debate that we had. And we don't agree very often, Francisco and I, so it makes for an interesting dialogue for each episode, for sure.
Yeah, no, it's a healthy debate. So if y'all ain't following The Shift, make sure you do that on Twitter. Check out Nick on the socials, also on the YouTube as well. The Shift, we'll go over all of that towards the end of the show. But talking about baseball here, we're going to be diving in and talking about those Philadelphia Phillies. But before we do that, make sure you're following the pod on Twitter at Total Sports Live, and you can check it out on all your various streaming platforms, Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast. You got TotalSportsLive.com. Yes, that is still up and running. It might have cobwebs on it, but it's still up and running. So you still got that going. Obviously, we're streaming this episode live right now on the X Machine. So if you missed this pod, you can catch it on the replay, on the audio version, on the good old streaming platforms. But let's get underway here. And before we do, shout out to my guy Berg tapping in to the pod saying, let's go, guys. Shout out to Berg. If you aren't following him in the Babies Who Bet Twitter account, that's a pretty good Twitter account if you're looking for some baseball picks from Babies Who Bet on his account. So got that going on here. But like I said, talking about the Phillies, a lot of things going on in Phillies land. Even though it's only early in the season, people are acting like they're pressing DEFCON 5 in every baseball game. But second straight year, Phillies gotten off to a slow start in the Rob Thompson era. However, I think fans need to remember it wasn't as bad as it was last year. Remember, last year, Philly started out 0-4. They were 4-8 through the first 12 games. This year, they're 6-6. So, hey, they're already two games better than last year, which is pretty impressive. And something that, you know, you should take pride in when you're looking at this season in this very close microscope that most and some are doing. However, as we could say, the fan base isn't necessarily pleased with how everything has transpired since this team has now gone to the postseason back-to-back. So the expectations, I would say, a little bit raised higher than how everything panned out against the Diamondbacks. You can't say people aren't on edge, but the stakes are a little bit higher right now. But the good news is Phillies just wrapped up their series against the St. Louis Cardinals. They won 2 out of 3. Runners in scoring position was 10 times better. They were 4-for-10. Everybody had a hit in the lineup except Bryce Harper, who went 0-for-4 with a walk, and Trey Turner, who had 3 strikeouts, 2 walks, and 0-for-3, which was very Trey Turner-esque to start the season. However, Nick, I'll pose this question to you to start this show off here. What's going on with the Phillies? Because even though they're 6-6, I feel like people aren't happy with the 6-6 start. Some people are pointing the blame at Johan Rojas, which I find damn near just stupid to point the blame at him for somebody that's 23 years old and haven't played AAA ball. His highest level of minor league ball was AA. Some people want to point at Rob Thompson for the lineup. And then this guy, who might be the Tobias Harris of the Philadelphia Phillies, Nick Castellanos, is also getting fingers blamed at. Just from your perspective, what's going on? And who is the, I don't want to say the culprit, but why do people want to point blame at these three particular people? And is it necessarily right?
Yeah, I listen, they've gotten off to slow starts. I mean, how many years in a row now? Even when they went to the World Series, they fired Joe Girardi at the beginning of the year. Last year, they got off to a slow start. People blame the World Baseball Classic. Fans are going to blame somebody. They got to find some scapegoat, right, to blame for the slow start. I think it's a combination of multiple factors, right? Like, I don't think you could just blame Johan Rojas. Now, while he has struggled to start the season, I think, you know, it's fair to criticize him. That's fair, but you can't blame the guy for losing games. I'm not going to put it all on Johan Rojas. Nick Castellanos, another guy, like, has really struggled to start the season. Rob Thompson, is he pushing the right buttons at times with bringing certain guys in? Beginning of the year, Connor Brogdon had a couple of terrible outings for the Phillies. Now is it the Dodgers now?
Yep, he got picked with the up Dodgers. By,
I believe. So, yeah, I mean, there was multiple factors. The bullpen didn't help them out early on in the Braves series, etc. So I think it's been the bullpen. I think it's been your big-time guys, big-time contract guys who haven't been producing as well. Nick Castellanos, the Tobias Harris, the Phillies. Love that comparison because it's so true. It seems like he's stealing money like Toby is on the other side in the hardwood across the street. But he's got to get it rolling. Like, I think it's kind of wild to me. Like, the Phillies, like, it felt like coming into the season, most people felt like the outfield had all of this depth, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Castellanos locked in right field. Rojas, Pache, who's going to get the center field spot? And then you had Merrifield, who's going to be the utility guy playing all over the place, and Brandon Marsh. So it felt like you had a logjam. But right now, it's like, do they really have a log jam? Do they have a ton of depth at the moment, the way the season started out? I don't know. I mean, you got to look at that a little bit. Who do you want to start at this point? Like, do you send Rojas down? Now, he played a little bit better in this St. Louis series coming in. Mm-hmm. I believe he was 1-for-22 and 25 at-bats in coming into the St. Louis series. So, obviously he's been struggling, but they're going to give Rojas every opportunity. And people just have to chill out. Just chill out. I mean, it's April 10th. Like, it's okay to have a slow start. I don't get it why they continue to do it. But listen, when your big bats aren't hitting and there's nights where guys at the top of the lineup aren't producing and getting on base, you're leaving runners on, that's going to cause some losses. It's not going to be the nine-hole hitter right. That's going to cause you to lose games. It's going to be the bullpen. Is Thompson pushing the right buttons there? I think the lineup's fine at this point, but I think it's a culmination of things. I think it's been more so the bullpen and your top guys not producing as much as they probably should be. I think that's kind of the essence of the slow start, in my opinion.
Oh, no, I 100% agree with you, because I feel like the fact that people are placing this like the offense is bad because of your number nine hole hitter, I think that's a bunch of bull crap. Because if you're one to four hitters, which have your big bucks, right? We're talking Schwarber, right. Turner, Harper, Realmuto. If those guys aren't hitting, then you can't expect the bottom of the lineup to carry you all the time. Like, granted, we saw that in the postseason where the big bats kind of got quiet in that Arizona Diamondback series, and who stepped up?
Yeah.
The Stotts, you know, the Bohms, like those guys at the bottom of the lineup, you know, started to pick things up and kind of carry them. But to put, like you said, for people to put the blame on a guy, that's, like we said, that's 23, the highest, you know, level of minor league ball he played was Double-A. Like, he's still figuring out the game. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because again, if he's your number nine hitter, you're not expecting him to carry the offense. Like, now, if he's like your cleanup guy or he's hitting at the top of the order, then all right, maybe we have to start, you know, answering and questioning things. But I don't think you have to do that right now. So I see we have some technical difficulties on this pod, but make sure y'all keep on tuning in and tapping in here to the Total Sports Live podcast as Nick has frozen on me. But I'm going back. There we go. He's back. So, yes.
I'm back.
So place the blame on Rojas. And I think the Castellanos thing is a really good point, too, because you saw, like you said, he hasn't gotten off to a good slump. He hasn't gotten off to a great start this season, which is a pretty much different contrast from what we saw for him last season. Because if you look at what he did last season at this time in April and March, he was hitting .313 with four home runs, 17 RBIs.
Yeah.
And even in May, he was hitting .265. He didn't have a ton of home runs, but he had 11 RBIs and he had 8 doubles. He had 10 doubles in April and March. And he had a couple of good hits today, which I thought was a good sign. I think if you're a Phillies fan, like, you just want to see that hard hit. You want to see him, you know, put balls in play, like, not swinging out of his shoes, just making solid contact. And I think a lot of their successes, granted, are going to hinge on how he can perform in the middle of the lineup, because I think Bohm moved up in the lineup today, and obviously Stott moved down behind Castellanos. But still, Castellanos, a guy that people remember going off with the Reds, has now kind of reverted back to what we saw in 2021, where he was kind of trying to figure it out. He's now back, you know, in that seventh hole, trying to get out of this funk, because we know when Nick is on, he's kind of unstoppable.
Right. Yeah, no, when Castellanos is cooking, I mean, you can't stop the guy. Like, we saw in the Braves series last year in the NLDS, like, he was unstoppable. Then all of a sudden, he goes ice cold in game two of the Arizona Diamondback series and on. Like, he just goes ice cold, doesn't have a hit from game two on. So, he's a guy that just has to get it rolling. I don't feel like he's left the contract necessarily completely since he's gotten here. But kind of going back to Rojas a little bit, I got to talk about him. Mm-hmm. So I get the frustration with him in the nine hole, right? Because the whole idea is you want a guy in front of Schwarber middle of the game to extend and flip the lineup back over. So I can understand why people are frustrated with you, Johan Ross, because you want to get the lineup back into Schwarber's hands, have a guy on base in front of him, and that's kind of the whole idea that helps Schwarber be in that first spot, in that leadoff spot. So I get why people are a little bit frustrated with Rojas to start the season, but, you know, give him a little bit of time. Like, I'd give him a month or two. Like, if he's really struggling still, I mean, then you got to think about, all right, maybe we got to send him down for a little bit, get some ABs at AAA, get himself right. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But give the guy a little bit of time. This guy batted .300 heading into the postseason last year. He's a really good – he's a really young player. He's fantastic out in center field defensively. So just give him some time, you know.
Whole glove potential out in center field.
Yeah. He's ridiculous. The amount of ground that guy could cover is unreal. So, like, he's Gold Glove caliber, like you say. So, like, for me, give him some time. Give him a couple months. If the bat is so unbearable where, like, all right, he's really not flipping over back Schwarber at six innings, right? Late ball, mm-hmm. You need that guy to get Schwarber back up. Then it's like, all right, maybe you consider sending him down for a little bit because you do have Pache, you do have Brandon Marsh, you have some guys there, right? So that's where I'm at with it. Like, just give him a little bit of time. It's so early. We can't just write guys off on April 10th. You can't just do that yet. Like, it's just too early in the season. It feels like Groundhog Day to me. I was saying this last year. Like, relax. Like, enough. Just let the season breathe a little bit here. It's April 10th. Mm-hmm. We're barely in the double-digit amount of games in the season. So I want to see Rojas continue to get some ABs. If he continues to turn around, like you said, had a couple hits today. And if, you know, that continues, he could string together some hits, gain some confidence at the plate, put together some good ABs, longer ABs. Leave him up here and let him develop. But if it's going to hinder his development, maybe send him back down to AAA. I don't think that's a bad thing.
No.
Because you have guys that can cover center field. So, because you want him to develop. You want this guy to be part of your future going forward. So, I think let him have a month or two. Give him through May, in my opinion. Like, and see where his numbers are at there and see how much he's been contributing offensively. And then reevaluate.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I think, like you said, like, you got to let him go through this patch. Like, because this will only help his development, right? You want a guy... Yeah. Just continue to work at it because it's not like he's lost at the plate, right? Where I think, you know, that's where we see with some young hitters, like, they just look overmatched coming up and they just look lost at the plate. They just don't know. Like, he's not lost at the plate. He's actually not overmatched at the plate in a lot of situations. It's just that he's just not making contact, which, again, right, that will come. Like you said, he's young. Like, those, that will come. That instinct will come. Like, him making contact, him putting balls in play, like, that will all come from him. And when he does, then that lineup becomes much more dangerous, right? Because if he gets ahead, right, if he gets on base with Kyle Schwarber coming up, now the pitcher has to think, okay, I got to try to keep Rojas on the first base bag. But I also now have to worry about not making a mistake pitch to Kyle Schwarber. So, yeah. So now they're playing. So now, if you're the Phillies, now you'll have this cat and mouse game going on against the pitcher where it's, I want to keep him on, but I don't want to make this mistake to Schwarber because, yeah, oh, if I make that mistake or if he gets on, then I got Turner to deal with. Then I got Harper to deal with. Right. And I feel like that situation will show and impair itself, you know, this season. Like, I feel like it will happen. Like, the offense will start clicking like that. And they have good matchups coming up, you know, in these next few series where this offense can get rolling.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, if you got to remember, he's got some speed on the base pass, so yes, he can make it happen, especially with the new pitch clock rules. Like, you want him to get on base. Like, that's why it's so, like, huge. Like, when he can get it rolling, oh, my goodness, this offense is, like, going to be ridiculous. Well, I mean, the other guys have to contribute, too. But, like, if you can flip the lineup over, have Rojas making havoc on the base pass, and then Schwarber coming up and Turner and Harper, that's kind of the idea I think the Phillies are going for. And, you know, just give him some time. That's all I'm saying. Like, because you love his glove. Everyone, how can you not love the guy's glove? And that's the reason he's up here and he came straight from Double A last year.
Right.
So, like, if he needs to go down at some point to work on his mechanics at the plate and work on making contact, building himself up, giving himself the confidence at the dish for the major league level, that's fine. But I want to see him go through kind of that rough patch, feel it out in major leagues, like, right? Like, you give him 2 months, give him till maybe June or something like that. That's just my thing. Let him, like, give him a little bit of time. You can't write a guy off after 12 games. Like, you just can't do it, especially in baseball where it's 162 game season. It's too long. You can't just blame Rojas for some of the slow start. It's a culmination of a lot of things, and it goes to Castellanos. He's got to contribute more. He's got to be much better. Your big guns have to come up in these big moments with runners on. I mean, that was the whole thing last year too. I mean, it's the same team as it was last year, essentially. So that's really the key to this offense. Your big time players have to be big time. And that's kind of been scarce a little bit to start the season.
Yeah, no, 100%. And that, you know, leads into my next point here. Like you said, the offense has struggled to add the whole. They're hitting .234, which is 18th in the majors, which isn't horrible, but it's about average, right? there's 32 teams in the year, so it's about average, right? But which was the more interesting thing is they're hitting their BABIP is 296, so it's 13. So they're putting the ball in play, like they're getting there, but it goes to what you just said, right? Runners in scoring position, keeping that train going and not like leaving two guys on, leaving three guys on this end, and leaving two guys on before you know it, you left 10 guys on base, and that could be the difference between you know, winning and losing. And we've seen this almost in every Zach Wheeler start. And John Stolness pointed this out on Twitter, saying that, you know, every start that Wheeler's been on the mound this season, you know, he has a one, he has a 1.89 ERA, but the Phillies has only scored three runs in his starts, which is, as another person on Twitter put it, very Jacob DeGrom-esque, which is scary, sad to say, but that was the same situation with Jacob DeGrom was when he was with the Mets with, he give you this great start, give you 6-7 innings, but somehow, some way, the Mets could not scratch across any runs, and it seemed like Wheeler is in that same situation. Yeah. Granted, again, like we said, it's still early in the season, but you like to see this offense wake up a little bit. Specifically, like we said, the guys at the top of the order, the Turners, especially because this was the guy who they spent $300 million on to kind of be that tone setter at the top of the lineup, and he haven't got it going, you know, at the top of the order so far this season. Still, like we said, very young into the into this 2024 campaign.
Yeah, no, you're right. And going back to Wheeler, got to give this guy some run support, man. He's pitching his butt off already. It's Cy Young caliber type stuff.
Cy like, Young,
you got to give right this here. Guy run support. My goodness, like, yeah, I'm actually going to the game. He's going to be pitching. He's probable pitcher for Sunday against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So I'll be at that ball game. So that'll be fun. Hopefully the offense can come alive because you got to give this guy run support at some point. I mean, 3-0 the other night, they lose. It's like, he's pitching so well. We know what Wheeler's going to do at the top of the rotation. Like, he's going to go out there. He'll give you 6-7 innings of really good baseball, 5-7 innings, I should say, because that's, you know, that's all pitchers go nowadays. that's a whole nother topic. But, I think, listen, it's the top of the order that has to get it done, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Harper, like, finally broke out in the Red Series with a 3-home run game on an awful, awful night to be at the ballpark, rainy, the whole thing. So he finally got it going, but really hasn't done much since then, since that series against the Reds. So it was kind of quiet here in St. Louis. But Trey Turner, defensively, I still think needs to improve a little bit more. He's had a tough go a little bit in the field. Offensively, need to see a little bit more from him. Guy like Bryson Stott, only batting 206 on the year, 7 base hits, has come around to score 4 times and has 1 double. Like, he's another guy. Like, Stott's got to get the bat going too, and we know he can hit right around 300, that 300 mark. So, and he's got the great glove at second base. So, I think. Just your guys got to start. The big guys have to start coming around, right? Like, they're the ones that have to, like we've mentioned at the top of the pod, like, they're the ones that really are going to carry this team. If they're not hitting, and we saw in the ALC or the NLCS last year against Arizona, like, once they're not hitting, they're not going to score any runs. They're going to lose ball games because they're going to depend on the long ball, and it won't work. And that's kind of how they've started the season. It's been a little bit of a slow start. So you got it, and it's the theme. Like, they got to drive guys in when they're in scoring position. And when your best guys, your big-time contract guys aren't doing it, you're not going to win games. But it's only April 10th. They're going to find their stride at some point this year. They're too good and too talented of a team not to.
Yeah, they are. And like you said, like in the Arizona series, we saw, like, when the long ball, they were dependent on it, and it led to like putting all the pressure on Stott and Boom, who showed up. But then it got to the point where pitchers were pitching around Bryce Harper. Because remember, they were, Arizona made it clear, like, we're going to pitch around this guy. We're not going to make the same mistakes that we did early in the series. We're not going to make the same mistake that the Braves did. Like, we're going to pitch around them and force other guys to beat us. And the Phillies just never got to that point. So, like you said, hopefully things can get better. They got a 4-game set against the Pirates starting on Thursday, which is going to be an interesting series because you're going up against Jared Jones, who's been very good his first two starts, major league starts. Guy is just throwing absolute just hitting the strike zone, you know, getting a lot of strikeouts. So that's going to be interesting. Mitch Keller in this series, Marco Gonzalez. So it's going to be very formidable against a team across the state who's playing really good, really, really good this season. That starts with the pitching and that offense with O'Neill Cruz. So that should be a very fun series.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a fun series. I highlighted Pittsburgh on the last episode of The Shift I did. Like they've had a really good start. O'Neill Cruz has been ridiculous to start. He's going to be a player to watch. You know, they're at the top of the standings in the Central to start the year. They're off to a quick start. So we'll see how long they can keep it rolling. But that's going to be a fun series, especially with the way Pittsburgh's been playing to start the year. Philly has kind of been up and down to start the year. So it's going to be a fun series for sure.
Yeah, Phillies better have their bats because Ryan Reynolds, O'Neill Cruz, Cabrian Hayes, all those guys can get on base, and especially Reynolds and Cruz, they can hit the ball out of the ballpark. So pitching needs to be A1, bullpen needs to be A1, and the hitting needs to be A1. So we'll see what happens. This is Total Sports Live podcast here on. Well, we'll be on Spotify going live right now. Nick Earnshaw, Jovan Alfred here, breaking down those Philadelphia Phillies. Also got another comment here on the show from my guy Trevor Stooley Pick saying the Pirates offense has been great lately. If the Phillies offense shows, it'd be awesome series. Yes. And he said Jack Swingitzky. Yes, I cannot forget Captain Jack. Captain Jack cannot forget about that guy. He's another one that he can get hot and go off. So that's going to be something else that the Phillies definitely have to watch out for. And speaking about the Pirates, we mentioned talking about the NL Central. There's another team in NL Central that's very keen interest to the Phillies, and that is the Rhys Hoskins. And Hoskins was on Foul Territory. I think it was this week, right? He was on this week's show. And Eric Kratz, former Philly, was interviewing him and asked him, like, do you think he'll get booed? Because obviously, former player going back to the bank. And Hoskins said it more so, I would say, said it more so in jest, like, wasn't like super serious. It was almost like, it almost came off like, oh, like, if they're booing me, that means that the Brewers are either winning or that, you know, or one, or we're doing something great. So if they're booing me, that's because we're doing something great. Do you think, and I don't believe that this is going to be the case, but do you think fans will boo Hoskins, who, we know he had his ups and downs in the field, you know, had the strikeouts, but when he was hot, he was hot. He had the epic, you know, home run spike in the playoffs, and he, the longest tenure Philly at a certain point with Aaron Nola. Do you really think that Phillies fans will boo him? Because I don't think that's going to happen.
No. I hope he doesn't believe he's going to, like, when he goes up to his first at bat, you know, in a different uniform as a Brewer, I hope he doesn't think that he's going to get booed by the fans. He's going to get a standing ovation. That bat spike will live in infamy, like, in his career here and for this era of Phillies baseball. Like, he gave Phillies fans all over the place that just one moment was gigantic. And no way he gets booed. Now, maybe later in the game he gets booed. They start booing him for fun a little bit. Like, I have some fun with Rhys. Maybe they do that. But I don't think first at bat he's getting a standing ovation, Jovan. Like, he's 100% going to get a standing ovation. Now, listen, we know his defensive struggles at first base. We know all about that. You know, he could be a polarizing player at times for Phillies fans. Like, some people are really big Rhys Hoskins fans. They defend him no matter what. And then you have people on the other side. Well, his defense stinks. He can't feel a baseball whatsoever, and he's so streaky. But overall, he was a really good player for this organization, no doubt in my mind. I think he gets a standing O first at bat, maybe like second game of the series. He hits a double, gives the Brewers a lead. Maybe that's when they start booing him or something like that. I think they cheer him, man. How can you not cheer Rhys Hoskins? Guy was great here. Did a lot of work in the community. His wife was buying beers for fans at the playoff game. Right. Like, I mean, come on. Like, he's not going to get booed. He'll be fine. He'll be okay. If he gets booed, it's in fun because, like, he hit a home run or something against the Phillies. That's the only time I could see him getting booed for real.
Right. If he hits like a, a three-run bomb off of like Aaron Nola, because Aaron Nola just left like a changeup in the middle of the plate. Then like, even though that could like literally happen, like
No, Aaron Nola would definitely be the guy to give up the home run to Rhys Hoskins, no doubt about it. The way this season started off again with all these home runs he's given up, no doubt in my mind it would be Aaron Nola to give up a double or a home run to Hoskins. That of course would happen. They'd be more booing Nola than they'd be booing Hoskins.
Oh yeah, easily they'd be booing Nola more than they booed Hoskins. And I think in that same vein, right? I feel like people wouldn't boo him just because of how things ended. Like the hope of that they thought that, because he seemed like he was ready to come back. And if they got to the World Series, like there was that chance that they could have, that Phillies fans could have seen him one more last time in a Phillies uniform. And I think that kind of, I know when Hoskins talked about, I think that kind of hit people in the feels in a little bit, like, man, like they blew the last two games and they couldn't get that, bring that, create that memory, for them, and, to give them one more shot, for someone that worked so hard to get back.
I know. Maybe even, I don't know. This was, I remember at the time it was talked about, they could have maybe activated him for the NLCS and maybe could have hit, he might have been feeling better late in the series. You don't have to send him up there unless he's feeling right towards the end of the series, games 5, 6, and 7 maybe. So maybe the Phillies could have done that. But I think 100% he would have been on the World Series roster. It would have been really cool if they could have got to the World Series and have Rhys, contribute a little bit. I think that would have been pretty cool. I think he had a good career here. There should be no ill will between the fans and Rhys Hoskins. No, I know he was polarizing at times, but I think he gets a standing O first at bat. Because, the bat spike, that'll go down in Phillies history as one of the greatest moments for the franchise. So, no way he's going to be hated here, no doubt.
Nah, not at all. He's definitely not going to be hated, because let me tell you, if they were able to get to the World Series, he would have been on that roster, Jake Keefe.
No, that's why I'm saying, maybe they should have activated him for the NLCS, and and maybe at a point he gives up for an at bat instead of Jake Cave. I don't know, but
it
is what it is. Yeah, now.
Right, exactly. It is what it is. And I know. And especially with the way Hoskins started out the season against the Mets and Jeff McNeil. That was like former Philly coming out. Like, he's setting the culture and the tone for the Milwaukee Brewers to start the season. It was beautiful.
That was like flashbacks to Chase Utley right there. That was Chase Utley-esque by Hoskins there with the Mets, man. It was fine.
Oh,
fine. McNeil's a big baby for that.
Goodness. Man was super salty because his offense couldn't get a hit. You couldn't get a hit, against the Brewers rotation that doesn't have Corbin Burns no more. And that's rocking Freddy Peralta, DL Hall and, Colin Ray. I'm sorry. It just didn't happen. So, it's going to be fun. It's definitely going to be fun to see Hoskins, come back to the city. And when they play, hopefully the Phillies are, on some losing streak or anything like that, because then it could get real ugly. But I don't see it happening.
There's nothing better than when the Mets are just in absolute misery. There's nothing better than that. I love seeing Mets fans in misery. I love seeing the Mets just whine and cry. And I loved when Rhys did the whole crying thing. I thought that was great. Odes to Chase Utley. It's a Philly thing. It's a Philly fan. I can't even talk. Philly thing, Jovan.
It is a Philly thing. Yeah, you do. And he embodied that so well. And it's good to see that, he's off to a good start with the Milwaukee Brewers. So we're going to wrap up the pod. But before we do, we got one more last topic to hit on for this week's pod. And that's the City Connect uniforms, which came out the same day that it was the earthquake. I don't know if there was a coincidence between the two that a new uniform comes out and an earthquake happens on the East Coast at the same time. Don't know if there's a coincidence with that, but they dropped last week. The first game they'll be wearing them is actually this Friday, and every Friday home game. A lot of people weren't fans of them. For me, it gave me Philadelphia Union vibes, which isn't a bad thing because I think the Union kits are like very fire. So I didn't have an issue with them. I think for a lot of people, it was kind of jarring because you're so used to seeing the Phillies either, you know, rocking the maroon tops or, you know, rocking, you know, the powder blues, the white with the pinstripes, the grays, the red jerseys, which a lot of people were now clamoring and wanted the red jerseys back all of a sudden. I like the uniforms, but I know I'm probably in a minority.
So first off, I hated the red ones. The red ones I could not stand. They're batting practice jerseys. They were batting practice jerseys. Why are we wearing them in the middle of a playoff run? I don't understand. So I'm glad they're gone.
Right.
The thing with the City Connect, here's my take on it. At first, when they first leaked a few months back, right, they leaked on the internet. They were essentially the ones that came out. I did not like them at all. I was like, whoa, I did not expect this to be their City Connect uniforms. Because there's some really good ones and there's some really bad ones.
Right.
As they were released on Friday, I've had a little bit of a change of tune. Seeing the full uniform, seeing the t-shirts, the hoodies, the hats. I think they're not – I enjoy the hats and the t-shirts and all the other accessories. I think that is much cooler than the jersey itself. That's just my opinion.
Right.
I like all that stuff better. And I think what was getting me and has gotten a lot of people is like the shock of it just being completely different colors than the Phillies. It's the city flag. It's this flag of Philadelphia, which apparently a lot of people don't know there's a flag for the city of Philadelphia. There is.
Nobody didn't take civics class, I guess.
Yeah. If you didn't know that, there is a flag for the city of Philadelphia. It is yellow and blue. So there you go. That's why the Phillies are that color. And it's an ode to the Union a little bit. Very, very Union-esque, to say the least.
So, even down to the lettering, very Union-esque.
Yeah, very. And they're not – so they've grown on me. I don't love the jerseys. They're okay. But I like the accessories better. I think the hat's fantastic. I think the hoodies are cool. The jerseys, I think that I might get one of those. I might get a jersey. That was pretty sick.
I need a jersey. I need a jersey because those prices for them City Connectors, yo, man. Yeah. 175 fanatics out here trying to charge us for a brick. I don't know, man.
Crazy. So I'm indifferent, I guess you could say, at this point. Like now a week, we've had like a week to soak it in almost now. Like, all right, these are the uniforms. I'm indifferent. I like the accessories more than the actual jersey and uniform itself. That's just where I'm at.
Yeah. For me, I like you said, I love the hats. I think the hats are fire.
Yeah.
The hats are good.
Yeah.
The jerseys, I definitely, like you said, like you. I want to definitely cop one. Just because those prices for a City Connect. I mean, as much as I like, you know, Bryce Harper and Nola and Willer and that Willer 45. And that City Connect looked pretty damn good. I don't know about $175 worth.
Need a couple more side jobs for that, Jovan, to pay for a City Connect jersey.
Need to pay for a City Connect. I might gotta wait. You know, you might gotta wait till Black Friday to get one of those. But
or Christmas time.
Might be a good Christmas jersey. Or birthday present now. When you think about it now.
True.
But when it comes to, I think, when we look at just, I know, like, for baseball now, like, we're going more into this, like, City Connect jersey era, and I think it's jarring for some fans because most are used to, you know, the old-fashioned. Like, these are the logos that we like. These are the colors that we like. These are the jerseys that we're used to. And now baseball's like, we're trying to, you know, liven up the game, make it, you know, more for the younger audiences, and like, bow, here we go. Like, City Connect uniforms. Like, there are some good ones, and there are some bad ones.
Yep.
I'm trying to think which ones were particularly bad that we didn't like.
I wasn't a fan of Boston's. I didn't like Boston's. I thought they were
What did theirs look like?
Theirs were similar to like theirs was also like yellow and blue for something.
I remember.
The design of it. I wasn't a big fan of it. I wasn't a fan of Boston. There was a couple of ones. Now I did love the Reds. The Reds were awesome.
The all black with the red.
Yeah. Reds, the Orioles had some good ones.
The O's are good.
But I think the Rockies, some people hated the Rockies. I like the Rockies.
That was a nice switch for the Rockies. That green was a nice switch.
The Nationals were kind of mid. I'm not going to lie. Like they had like the flowers. They were okay. Like,
The Perry Blossoms.
Yeah, it was okay. Not great, in my opinion.
Yeah, for me, I'm trying to think which ones. I didn't like the Rangers one, was a little odd to me.
Okay. I forget what the Rangers one looks like.
Yeah, the Rangers had was the white tops and the black pants. That kind
Oh, yeah.
I was like, that's too much. Much clashing. The Giants one was a little weird to me because I think it was all white with orange. Right. And I was just like, that don't look right. Not very eye-appealing. The Pirates one was actually pretty okay. I thought the Pirates one was okay. It was the helmet that threw me off because it was like very yellow on the front.
Yeah, I just pulled up the Pirates one.
Yeah,
they're okay.
It pays homage to, you know, their colors because obviously that city a lot, all their teams are, you know, repping the black and yellow. I'm trying to think if there more.
Do you remember San Diego? San Diego was like all different colors.
Yeah, it was like light green, pink, blue, like almost like a summerish type ensemble that they had going on. Yeah. So that was good.
And then the Astros were Space City.
Oh, the Space City. Yeah. I didn't like that one.
They've hit and missed.
Yeah. The what's the names are actually good though. The what's the city connect? I just thought about it. The Mariners one was actually nice.
The Mariners one was good. I think I had just had that up. Hold up.
With the blue, yellow, and they had the black pants too.
Yep.
So it seems like Major League Baseball has this thing with blue, yellow, and black.
Love the blue. They love the blue.
Just different shades of blue. Who else have a good one? The Brewers. I think the Brewers have a nice one.
The Brew Crew with the
baby blue, powder blue, whatever color blue that is. Yeah. Like that was nice. Also, again with the yellow, like Major League Baseball just
Most of them. Yeah, they're loving that combo. I'm trying to find what other ones. Oh, the Cubs were Wrigleyville a few years ago.
Oh yeah. Wrigleyville, yeah. The Sox had the White Sox had the South Side. Okay. The South Side ones.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Phillies, like, and then the video they put out for it, like, I thought was pretty good and kind of, like, summarized, like, all right, this isn't, I get the idea of what they're trying to go for here. Like, I don't hate them. At first, I hated them, and, like, they've grown on me. I'm a changed man, Jovan.
It's not like when the Eagles are rocking up the light blue and the yellow in their uniforms years ago when Kevin Curtis was out here playing wide receiver.
Kevin Curtis. Oh my goodness.
Or when the Sixers decided they wanted to go with the gray uniforms.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was going back. I was talking to someone about this. We were going through like the Sixers once. So we were talking about all the uniforms and man, like they've hit on some, and then the gray ones are just like, wow, these were really just,
Yeah. nothing for the Sixers just screams gray. And I think they were trying to go for like a Rocky theme type thing, like Philly Tough, like all that stuff. That didn't mix. And then when they did the black jerseys and everybody's like, oh my God, Sixers are bringing black. And it was like, no, this is like Ben Simmons, Bohouse Row inspired. And everybody's Bohouse Row is, you know, iconic, I guess, but like, what does Bohouse Row have to do with putting it on the jersey of a sky? No, why not the city skyline?
I'm not gonna lie, the Bonehouse Row ones weren't that bad. I actually didn't mind them. They were cool. I didn't mind them. I like the retro ones they've done, like the 70s one they did.
Oh yeah,
the one last
the one he did this year.
It was kind of retro.
One he did this year,
the Spectrum one. Yeah, that one. Yeah, the good Spectrum. Too. I like this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's good. Spectrum one was good too. There's some good. Hopefully, this Philly City Connect jersey like kind of goes into that lore of like good city jerseys that you know.
Hopefully,
next year and 2 years from down the road, we'll see people you know just rocking just a random JT Realmuto City Connect. You're like, where'd you get that from? Like, got it from Raleigh.
We know what era it was from.
Right.
We know what era it was from.
You'll definitely know what era it's from. You won't be second guessing like, yo, where did you get that from? But. That's pretty much going to wrap the pod. Appreciate everyone, you know, that tuned in, tapped in. First one in a long time. Like I said, the last time, you know, we did a pod was a couple months ago. Talking, was it a month ago? No, it was a month ago. I feel like it was a month ago. Okay. Yeah, because we were talking like free agency, NFL, all that Sweet. Good stuff. And obviously the NFL machine keeps on churning and churning. You have the draft coming up.
Of course it does.
Yeah, yeah. And got draft coming up. We got Sixers playoffs coming up. So you know, you might hear me and Nick link up again and talk about your town, yeah. your team, your Philadelphia 76ers. I think that's about it. Anything that we need to be on the lookout for you, Nick? You know, you're a very busy man. Like you said, the shift is on and popping. A lot of shows, you know, you and Francisco, you're doing yeah. your thing, spreading the good word about the game of baseball and its intricacies.
Yeah, so yeah, obviously we'll be putting out an episode a week for the shift. Hopefully me and you can link up for the Sixers yeah. Show. I definitely want to do that. We'll get something figured out, we'll get a date set for that for sure, because Sixers heading into the playoffs, a lot going on in the NBA. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a wild playoffs this year for sure. So definitely look out for that. Love chopping it up with Jovan, especially about the Sixers and Phils. So we got that coming. Doing Knicks Nuggets, 97.3 yes, ESPN.
Knicks Nuggets.
3 times a week. Mike Gill on Sports Bash, so that's pretty fun. 4:30 usually the time, so I'll be on there. Locker Room with Billy Schwein. I got Saturday morning, so I'll be there.
That's right.
Yeah, and then 91.5 WDBK, man, rebuilding Camden County College's radio station.
There you go.
It's been an absolute blast. We're going to start broadcasting some baseball and softball coming up next week.
That's
so
good.
That'll be pretty fun to get the students there some opportunities to call some games, and they got some podcasts they're working on. So it's been a lot of fun, man. I'm all over the place. I'll be calling some University of Pennsylvania games too coming up. So towards the end of the month again, so that'll be fun, baseball and softball. So yeah, busy month for sure.
Definitely a busy month, but that's good. It's good to be busy, and like you yeah. said, you're doing a lot of things, calling games, getting back into that rhythm.
Yeah,
you're doing the shift and your Knicks yep. Nuggets. You're all over on 97.3 down there in South Jersey. You're
yeah.
rebuilding the radio station, which I always love to hear, because college radio has a very soft spot in my heart, because I yeah. know just how influential it can be and how to get people started and get them a feel for if they might want to do this, yep. in whatever fame, whatever fashion they want to do. So it's good to see you doing good. I'm proud of you, Nick. You out here, you out here thriving. You've come a long way from the blue coats, the blue coats days when you and Harrison was covering the blue coats and the blue rocks. So you out here making it in the world. You out here making it.
Thanks, Jovan. Yeah, it's been fun, man. But college radio is awesome. I got to see Derek Jones, Rowan Radio Station Manager. He was my guy. I saw him at the MAC tournament not too long ago, so shout out to him as well. Learned a lot from him and those guys over there. So, it's been a busy month, but it's been fun. And, yeah, man, we got, over 20 kids on the air just in, a couple months. That's so it's been fun to see everyone kind of grow and start learning everything over mm-hmm. there. And we're kind of just starting out, man, over the summer and heading into next semester, we're really going to be thriving, I think. So it's been a fun, little adventure we've got going on over there, and a good group of guys and girls over there. So it's been fun.
Hey, that's good to hear. And that's pretty much going to wrap up the pod again. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. If you missed this show, obviously you can catch it on all your streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast. All you got to do is search Total Sports Live, TSL Podcast. One of those two things should pop up and give you this episode of the pod and every other episode you might have missed that we've done over the years and years of podcasting. As always, make sure you're following at Total Sports Live, TotalSportsLive.com as well. Make sure you're following Nick on Twitter at N Earnshaw Radio. Do not
change it.
Yeah,
he changed it.
He changed it. Do not look at the bottom of the screen. What I have here, that was totally a mess up on my part. So make sure you follow Nick here. Make sure you're following the shift on all your platforms as well, your social medias, YouTubes, all that good stuff there. And make sure you follow me on Twitter at Jovan10. So again, appreciate everybody for tuning in. Appreciate Berg. Appreciate Trevor for tapping in on the show as well. Appreciate again everybody for tuning in. We'll be back hopefully next week to talk about something else different. Maybe talking about Sixers, but hey, if the Phillies do something or they go down the toilet, then hey, we'll talk about that as well. So for me and Nick, everyone have a good one, and we'll talk to you all very soon.